everyone. Welcome. What's going on? Okay, so hopefully, hang on. You're a guest. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sean Trainer to the Strike Pod. Hello, what were you going to say?
Is this a different thing than Park Pals? I mean, I know it's on Park Pals.
Yeah, but it's
different. But it's a different,
because
like,
I, as an actor, cannot talk about a certain show because it's considered promotion.
Hmm. I see.
So the last like 5 weeks, I think this, or maybe fifth week, I think this will be the fifth one or something like that. We've been talking about literally anything and everything except for TV film. So
nice. Well, that's good that you're keeping it going.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping what I was going to say is that I hope that this would be the last one. And by hope, I mean, like, obviously we will, you know, continue.
It seems like they're making some type of progress, or it's moving along, so that's good.
Yeah, so the strike is tentatively ended for the Writers Guild, and this is just our little update since this is Strike Pod. But technically, they're saying tentative because they have to vote on it next week. But I was looking at, and I'm going to post this in the show notes, but I was looking at the agreement that we got, or that the writers got, which hopefully will follow SAG, or SAG will follow suit, rather. And they got so much of what they asked. And it was like, they already... And I mean, to be completely honest, like, we all know that the studio heads were being stupid. And then there was a lot of infighting where, like, some studio heads were like, yeah, dude, let's do this, I'm done. And some were like, no, like, we're going to hold out a little bit more. And yet they lost the same or more amount of money that they were going to give to us, or that we asked, rather, which was so bizarre. But yeah, like, all the things, though, like the streaming stuff, pensions and healthcare, like money raised in general, writers' rooms. AI can be used as a tool, but it's not meant to be the only content creator, if that makes sense. Some companies, some companies have to actually, like, approve the use of AI, which is really interesting. So hopefully that will be, you know, something that SAG will think about, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy it got that far. And yeah, hopefully there's like a ripple effect into other industries too. That would be amazing to see that some type of how happen in music or...
I know. Well, I was talking to our friend Kyle about that. When was that? Like, maybe on Pontoon Day? Because, well, side note, first of all, SAG is meeting tomorrow. So fingers crossed. Because SAG could be done, and then we can get back to the show that we love. Even though I have loved Strike Pod, I actually really have enjoyed it. coming up,
you keep the. I mean, if it's not geared around like the strike, but you could like filter in episodes like that, and maybe it'll evolve into something else. Because I like it is a cool concept, and also at a certain point the show will end.
That's true.
You know, it's maybe fun. Something to. To like travel through, you know, it will bring you into a new direction.
Yeah.
Strike Pod.
But no, I was talking to Kyle about this because is there a music union?
You know, there is. There's a musicians union. And for what I've heard, it used to be very popular or big in Nashville. Like, you couldn't play certain non-union sessions. All the big country sessions were union. And then, I don't know, like, since, like, everything is just, like it's, like, a slightly smaller scale in, like, music. Like, a session maybe only has, like, 10 people involved. Mm-hmm. So, like, it seems like at a point they started getting away with, like going away from that. Mm-hmm. Because I think also, like, the unions weren't very good and they were not treating musicians very, it was, like, all of that. And then, like, as recording has changed, like, you know, people are recording in different like locations, and it's just different. So then it was like less handled by the unions. And I don't know about, I would assume the same thing is on the road. But yeah, it is not, but then like that like side only like seems to really like handle musicians, like working touring musicians. Then you have like the writers, you know, producers, artists thing, and that's not covered by the same thing. So there's like very few people like trying like to defend the rights of like writers. I mean, it's kind of the PROs, but they kind of don't even get involved. And for a while there was like one dude, David Israelite, who is still like the guy that's
still
like
really into pushing. It. I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, he's like the only guy that, I mean, and he's like made significant progress, but it seems like even the significant progress isn't that much. Like, you know, the streaming rate goes from like, you know, this to this, which is good, but it seems like there's so many things that are backwards. And I think it's kind of coming from it's the same thing with actors, you know, like these studios or these record labels, they're just making so much money, and Spotify is making so much money, and they are just like campaigning against it, and there's not like a centralized thing, it seems like, where people can really, you know, make their voice known. So that's why it seems like it's not much has changed, even though it's like been talked about forever changing, you know. I don't know, so, but maybe it'll have a ripple effect.
Yeah, I hope so, because I mean, the auto workers have had unions forever and they're striking right now. UPS, like, they were about to strike and then they were able to get what they needed. But for those that don't know, PROs, performing rights organizations, you're talking about like BMI, ASCAP, things like that. And that, I don't know, explain briefly to those that don't know what that is.
I mean, they're called the performance rights organization, and they basically they're supposed to kind of protect your rights as songwriters or composers, and they handle what are called performance royalties. So music is kind of split between, there's mechanical royalties and performance-based royalties, and there's different organizations for both. Basically, they collect the money and give it to, and keep track of everything. They're the third party, and they're supposed to have more of a hand in like helping you out, or like being a resource for you. There is that aspect of it, but usually when you talk to people about it, they're like, well, yeah, they don't really do that. They kind of just say they do that. So I don't know. I used to be with ASCAP. I've switched to BMI.
Any certain reason?
Honestly, I had a really bad meeting with a person at ASCAP. This was like years ago, and somebody had like set me up.
I haven't really talked to you about this. This is so great.
Really?
Okay, go ahead.
I had like this, like, I was kind of being mentored by this one songwriter, and they had, you're supposed to have a writer's rep at all of these things. It's like, it comes with it, where you have a point of contact. But how it works is like, there's like 20 writer's reps, like in the entire company for like millions of people. So it just, the numbers don't make sense. It's a weird system. And so, this person had sent like a bunch of like emails, like trying to introduce me to their writer's rep. And I wouldn't get a response back. Finally got like a response back. This is like 6 months. And they're like, okay, like, we'll take a meeting. And so I went in, you know, played a bunch of my stuff, and they were like, yeah, like, this is cool. Like, we'll do this, send me this. And like, I'm going to reach out to this person. And then after that meeting, it was like nothing, like never heard back. They were just doing it to appease like their friend. Like, I almost rather you just be like, just say, oh, I'm too busy. Like, yeah, that's a better response. So then I was like, well, screw this. I'm going to go to BMI. And to switch over, if anybody's a musician and is looking to join one of these organizations, like, make sure you do your research. And because it's really hard to switch. You can only switch once every like 4 years, and you have like a month to do it. And if you miss the window, you have to wait another 4 years. It's crazy. And so I like was like, mine was like randomly coming up, and I was like logged on and saw it. And then when you do that, then it's like another 6 months process of just, and like, I had nothing going on too. It's so weird that they like hold you. So yeah, I'm not like a super fan of like those organizations, but
I wonder how that started, like the 4 year thing. You know what I mean? Like, what?
I know, what
is
a random
timeline? It sounds like insurance, to be honest. Like, it's open season or open enrollment season or whatever, and if you miss it, you miss it.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's like, I don't know if there's like not a financial benefit of being at either one. I think some of them are like more transparent about something. So I don't know if that's like geared to, if you're like really successful and bringing in a ton of money, that you can't just switch over because like this company's gonna like promise you X more money. I don't know if it's like set up with that, but like, for, I would say probably 95% of the people in there like don't have that issue. So it's like, why not just be like, I'm leaving, like,
yeah,
you know, if you can't do anything, or if you're like not even willing to like talk to me.
Did BMI seem better as far as like the reps or like
a little bit? Like, yeah, a little bit. I've known a few people over there, and Sierra and I are both there, and like, we've kind of talked, but I don't know. But I like their website better, so that's really why.
Honestly, that makes a huge difference if you can get on the like an interface with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like because some of these websites, I don't know. You see this in like government websites too. It seems like they were built like with the first version of Windows 92, and like it's like with all the brilliant minds of this country, like we can't make the DMV website like a little bit more user friendly. Like it's crazy, and I feel like a lot of these, I don't know what's up with that, because it seems like I can make a better website on Squarespace in like 30 seconds 100%. Than like this. So anyway.
I don't know if it has to go through some sort of like security measure, but I feel like Squarespace it could have that. I don't know.
Yeah, it must. Or like there's just like so many cooks in the kitchen, and it's just got to get through so many things. And
but I feel like there should be a union, especially for session musicians. I feel like there was, or I've heard of that at some point, but it's just like not as widely known or something.
Yeah, I heard something about it like a long time ago.
To protect wages and stuff for like, because you know sometimes sessions run 800,000 hours.
Yeah, it might be still a thing in like a certain demographic. In Nashville, like I can see kind of like the more Music Row model. You can't really see it in like the more like, I don't know, rock vibe, where it's just like that's not the thing. But like I know like there was a time in Nashville, and it still goes on, where like there's a session at 10 that goes to 2, and then that goes to like 3 to 6, and like people, like there are certain musicians that like do that every day, and those must be union. I mean,
yeah,
but they're so like cookie cutter, and yeah, they must be protected through the union somehow. But yeah, but like in other cities like LA, like I don't know, there must be a thing in the film world and like orchestral. I wonder that must, because those probably are even more rigid than music,
right?
Or like Nashville's like song based stuff, because that's so like there's probably so many hours and so many people involved. I would assume,
yeah.
Or like with the symphony, yeah. I don't know. That must be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I know they're contracted, obviously, so they have like certain stipulations and stuff in there, probably. But that's really interesting.
Yeah.
What a thing to research, you know?
I know.
And you would think touring needs some kind of like, you know, guidelines as well, because those hours are fucking crazy. So I would think it's that nobody crazy. Has like, I feel like touring is like the wild, wild west. Like you can just,
it does seem, I don't know. You hear like some of our friends like tell the stories, and it's like they didn't feed you, and then you had to drive 12 hours and you didn't sleep for 3 days. Like in what world?
I know.
And that's like a kind of semi high level of touring. It's like, in what other business would that even be remotely like,
I know,
acceptable? Like you would think that the unions, but I don't know if it's one of those things where it went through a time where people were like, well, I'm not hiring union players because I know I'm going to be able to get it cheaper, and people are going to still want a job.
Yeah.
And then that kind of just became the norm. I don't know.
That's weird. I mean, there's this thing called FICOR in the acting world, where you can be a member, a union member, and then go off card is what they call it, where you can like work on non-union projects as well. A lot of people are kind of like, I don't know, there's so many schools of thoughts on that, and some people hate that idea, but like, I don't know, I guess if you can do what's best for you and get the guidelines that you need to, it's just like boggles me. I wonder if David Israelite is like thinking about that ever, because I know he's been like on the push with him and what's his name, the one that has the podcast and the
Ross
writer
Colin.
Is yeah, Ross Golan. Like, I feel like him and David Israelite have done a lot for like songwriters too. So like, should there
they
be a
have.
Songwriters union as well?
Yeah.
You know, and like, how
yeah,
do you,
and there might be. I don't I like, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, how do you set that up as far as like, if there isn't one, how do you start it? Number one, but also number two, like, I don't know. The thing with songwriting, I guess you would need to be. Like, does it need to be produced in order to, like, be protected by the union kind of thing? Because, like, that's the thing with songwriting and scriptwriting, I guess. Like, if you make it, if you write it, like, it needs to be sold technically for you to, like, have those union protections.
Yeah. See, that's where it gets kind of gray. Maybe, especially for songwriting, because it's, like...
Or, like, staff writers should definitely be, like, there should be a songwriting union. You know what I mean? Because that's basically what a TV... writer is doing. They're in a room, you know what I mean?
Are TV writers, are they all independent contractors, or are they,
typically,
once they get signed by a show? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, typically.
I guess, yeah, because I wonder if that's a thing or if it'll ever
be. Sometimes they're
like
bouncing around between different ones or.
Yeah.
Know, so.
Yeah, because I know all like songwriters, yeah, are technically, even if you're signed, you're still like a. Just an independent contractor. Right.
Maybe I'll have to have David Israelite and Ross Golan on a strike pod.
That'd be amazing. I've heard a few interviews with David Israelite, and he is like fighting a good fight.
He really is.
He's like the only dude. Like, and it's funny to hear, like, well, not funny, but some of the stories where like they go to the Capitol and like go in front of like Congress people and like tell and like basically these. This is like how criminal like some of like these things that go on in music are, and just like see the people's reactions. They're like, just like, or at least maybe they're playing dumb, but they're like literally had no clue.
Yeah,
like, it's just not anywhere in the forefront of our mind. And like in the grand scheme of thing, is it the most important thing? Absolutely not. But like it is a pretty important thing for a large group amount of people, and it doesn't seem like it would be too crazy to change and like hurt anybody other than like the few. Quadrillionaires that are making a ton of money, like,
yeah,
well, I don't know, it just seems like one of those no-brainers, like, yeah, we should, like, it should be more than like point nano cents for
yeah
stream.
And like you would think right, totally, like cents on the dollar for this.
I'm like, yeah, like the rules have not been updated for music, like how music is sold basically since like piano scrolls.
Oh,
like,
yeah, so, like, I remember that.
I mean, and it's crazy. I mean, it's like the 1800s, like that we're still like governing music over. And like, right. What other, that's crazy.
Right, right. Well, that's like what the kind of the argument was with these writers and actors strikes. Like people were like, well, you're asking for so much because it used to be this. And we're like, yeah, because it used to be this back like whatever, how many years ago. That's why it's changed.
But and so you guys seen the prices of apples? Everything is so expensive these days.
Oh my God. I am. Okay. So like inside scoop, which I think I've told you this, not really, but I've decided not to, get the Netflix, like the new Netflix subscription. Cause I was sharing my sister's, but like, I've decided not to get, a subscription until the strike is over. Cause I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, this is just like, it makes no difference. No one fucking cares. But my own personal principle.
I didn't have Spotify for the longest time. I just got Spotify because Tidal went up. But like, I mean, like, and by just, I mean like 3 days ago.
Wow. Did Tidal go up like insanely?
It did. And honestly, Spotify is a better app.
Oh, that sucks. Because Tidal typically pays more, yeah?
It does. But like, when you really look into it, it's not that much more. And it's basically only, it's the whole thing with Tidal was it's supposed to be owned by artists was the thing and it was at one point, and now it's owned by like three artists, and that's basically the same thing as a corporation owning it, you know what I mean? Like it was something where like they would not let it be like more, it was supposed to be like a community thing and they ended up not being that, so it's the same thing.
Well, and like we were talking about with Squarespace, it's like if the user like experience is better, that sucks.
Yeah they definitely put more thought into this, the Spotify one.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, Tidal is another streaming service. So for music or other. But
and for the longest time, I really liked Tidal because it had like high quality streaming. It was like more if you wanted to listen to like WAV files. But now Spotify has that too. For the longest time, Spotify was just MP3s. So they were compressed and they just sounded a little bit worse. And now they sound, you can choose high quality and it sounds fine. So it's like,
well,
what are you going to do? But sorry, go back to the Netflix thing.
Okay, so...
inside scoop?
Yes, the inside scoop is that for some reason, Netflix doesn't know that you're not on the same household, quote unquote, on your phone or on your laptop. So I've been watching...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't do it on my TV, but like on... I've been watching Bake Off because Bake Off has been like just keeping me sane for the last like month and like just keeping me zen and whatever and happy. And I watch it on my phone all of the time. And then I tried today. I was like, wonder if I can watch it on my laptop, like just to have a little bit of a bigger screen. And you can. And so
that's,
I don't
really
know where the line is drawn there. And I'm sure I'll definitely get an account once the strike is over. But I'll for now, this is kind of great.
Another little tip that I just figured out, I got back into, I figured out you can put a VPN on your your TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, I have it on my computers, but I was like, let me just try to put it on my TV. And I know a lot of people probably know this, but if you switch your VPN mm-hmm. to different countries, different things come up. Like, if you switch it to London, you can watch The Office mm-hmm. on Netflix. But one thing I just found out, that if you switch your VPN to London and go on to Disney Plus, mm-hmm. it has everything that's on Hulu on Disney Plus.
Weird.
I don't know why. Yeah. So you basically don't need to buy Hulu if you have Disney or whatever. You just go on and all the shows are on and there's no commercials. So
that is.
Yeah, it's weird, wild. That whole thing, too. Like, the different, like, what country is different things and, like, yeah. the licensing and, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's wild. Also, I would wonder, like, speaking of, I don't know why my brain went to back to Tidal and Spotify. Like, who decides how much, why Tidal gets to give more money to artists than Spotify? Is it just, like, what the hell?
I don't know. Is it, like, what a marketing
thing? What is that pot of money that, like, and who's to say that it can't be raised?
That was the whole... That is the whole argument between, because when people ask that question, the record labels goes, Spotify has all the money and they're choosing not to release it. And when they ask Spotify, they go, well, the record labels have all the money and they're choosing not to release it. So that's one, I mean, that's like a very dumbed down, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like explanation of it. But one of those people have
the power,
a ton of money, and they're just not letting, it's not like that, because that's the crazy part, it's not like the money isn't flowing in,
right?
Money is flowing in, it's just being capped, or, you know, held captive somewhere.
Yeah. And I guess that also brings me, again, I know this is so layered, there's so much things, but I also think of, like, all those contracts and, like, awful like deals that, like, Petty and Springsteen and all these people signed. Yeah. And, like, how do you protect against that? Was that just a bad contract that, like, they could have had a lawyer for,
or, like,
could
a union, like,
have protected them in that case?
I don't know. It sounds like there were bad contracts that were, like, meant to hurt artists, and they just didn't know at the time, because it had never really been done before. If you think of, like, the Billy Joel thing, it was just, like, not done before. And then, I mean, a lot of those artists, they did eventually, you know,
yeah.
make a ton of money, were able to buy stuff back. And now you're seeing this crazy thing where, like, musicians are selling their catalogs.
Oh, my God, I saw that. Katy Perry just sold hers.
Yeah, they say we're in, like, this publishing bubble, because the rates are just, like, people are getting ridiculous amounts. Like, Springsteen sold his catalog for, like, $500 million. I mean,
explain, like, what it means to sell your catalog.
So, basically, sorry, I'm just letting Sierra know that I'm doing this. You're basically selling your songwriting is split into two categories. It's split into, in terms of how you're paid, your writer's share and then your publishing share. And then a lot of the times the writers own the writer's share, and then either a publishing company or yourself, if you are your own publisher, owns that. And basically they're selling their publishing to of that. So they're selling a large chunk of money, basically 50% of their net worth. And basically they're betting on, and why people are doing this, because, like, it happened with Prince, where Prince did not sell his catalog, and then he didn't specify who was gonna get it. And so basically it got split between his family members, and they split it randomly, basically. And what ended up happening was some of them sold it off, some of them tried to like take care of it themselves, and it's a lot of admin stuff, and you have to hire the right people, and basically they lost it all. And it was like this travesty, and like And honestly, and so what artists are realizing now is sell the money, invest it in something extremely safe, and then their family's never going to have to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be like, you know, money will just sit there, and then they don't have to deal with it. But they do give up a certain amount of control of their music. It's not like they don't own it. They don't own where it gets, like, placed and stuff, but I think a lot of them, like have things in place where, you know, they have to get permission or there's something. It's not like they can just, you know,
okay, yeah,
sell,
that's what I'm curious
Taylor Swift's
about.
Catalog to, like, Pornhub. I don't, you know, like, they can't do that. But it's definitely, they're definitely going to get there. We're at this time where people are just going to get more money for it.
But so, if they sell their publishing, so what does that mean? Like that they can just use their music wherever kind of thing?
You'll definitely see it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like if it syncs someplace or like advertising would be huge.
Yeah.
You know,
does that mean they can like re-record though? And like,
no.
Okay.
Technically, well, you're seeing the big thing with Taylor Swift. Sure. Owning your masters and your publishing are two different things. When you own your masters, that's like the physical actual files. If it was like a CD, it would be like the CD. Mm-hmm. And so that's the whole thing where she's re-recording her masters because they refused to sell them to her.
Right.
But she probably owns a fair bit amount. Oh, no, she sold her publishing, didn't she, for like $300 million?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
So the same thing. Yeah, I think that was like before all of that had happened. And it's honestly not as a big a deal. People, it kind of gets misinterpreted as like, oh, like they like sold their songs, like they don't own them anymore. Well, technically they own 50% of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a much better business deal. Like it just, they're all doing it. Bob Dylan did it. Stevie Nicks did it. Like,
I mean, Dolly speaks very clearly on that too, though. She like never wants to release her publishing. She's always wanted to keep that.
Yeah, but you know what? She's done such a better job at like where her money is all tied up. I mean, it's just like everywhere.
That's true.
She probably has so many streams of income.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she has a family. I understand. I didn't really understand until I read about the Prince thing. And then I was like, oh, if you leave this to your kids, it could be a burden that could like sink you. And then it could kind of like destroy a legacy, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of it's like a little bit the opposite of Tom Petty, because he didn't sell his catalog, I don't think. And that's why his daughter got it and has done a lot with it, like has been re-releasing stuff. And they did the whole Wildflowers thing. But I know there was like a contention thing because the ex-wife was suing her over the publishing. And like, so, you know, you can get into stuff like that once a person dies. And so sometimes just, I know, it's better just to have it, you know, in a investment fund and just, you know, live off that.
I guess you'd have to really think about, like, if, I don't know, putting that in a will.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be really complicated.
Damn.
You know, so.
Okay. Well, I'd be very interesting to know about musicians unions because.
Yeah. If you find anything out, let me know.
I'll keep you posted. Yeah. Cool. I think it's a thing, but I just don't know how, like, you know, what's the word?
Like how prominent it is. Yeah. And enforceable. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow. Well, okay. Also, I didn't say this at the beginning because most people know you already, but you are part of a duo called Southern Call that has just released your album and short film. And it's like so exciting and amazing. So I'll post all of the information. And that is also how you know all of these things. You're way more involved in the business side of it.
Well, I wish I was more of it.
I mean, it's also kind of crazy. I've just been thinking about this lately that like, and my friend Chris, who's been on the Strike Pod frequently, had just like, we keep talking about like what they didn't teach you in college, even if you went to the artistic school.
I know.
It's kind of wild. I mean, I remember that music business class, like it did teach you like a lot about the mechanical license versus the recording license, all that stuff. But like, it's, I don't know. It's always.
But it was almost like set in the 90s or something.
Yeah,
like it was just, nothing was current. And I don't know if, like, we just caught it at a weird time where maybe now they are, because, like, information is so accessible. Like, I don't know. Somebody was just telling me about that in terms of, like, health, where, like, there was this time where, like, there was, like, these gatekeepers, basically, and you had to basically have a degree to, like, know certain information about studies, or like you couldn't just like go read a study that they did about something. You had to basically have like authorization to a certain libraries or whatever. And now the internet just like democratized that. So like so many people now are like questioning things and like, oh, that's wrong and that seems wrong and this was corrupt here. And so I feel like a little bit of that, I mean, a little side tangent, but like in music, it's like, I don't know if they're just like we're able to find out more now, and we just kind of caught it at a weird time. Like, maybe. Hopefully they are, because it's wild. We really didn't learn much about any of that in school. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I know all about my 2.5s, but like,
and it constantly changes, though.
Yeah, and it constantly changes. Yeah, and maybe that's part of it too. like the chord progression.
Oh.
But like, how even like relevant is that?
I can't believe I'm like,
Berkeley's gonna take your degree back.
Oh, that was really funny. Okay.
That's hilarious.
2-4-5-1
2-4-5-5
Six, seven, oh my God. Wow. Blast from the past. Well, I was also thinking about because I didn't realize. Have you ever heard of Coursera?
Yes.
I really want to take an audio editing class through them because I want to learn like all the different things, like all the different DAWs. And I was just thinking, especially like Pro Tools, and I don't know if they do Adobe Audition and things like that, because those are what studios are using, especially podcasts and like radios, NPR, that kind of stuff. But I was just thinking, it really got me going because I thought about our one music technology class or MTech. And I was like, do you remember Reason?
Man.
Like, who the fuck uses that?
That, there was a program called Digital Performer, which we spent like half the time. I mean, it was just such a
Digital Performer.
Such a bad, such bad programs. And like now I hear when you go to Berkeley, like they just give you Logic and Pro Tools. I mean, they just didn't. Like, I mean, the technology has just gotten so much better.
But I still feel
and now there's just like anything you want to learn on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
I
mean,
but I just feel like even if even though it was back in the time and technology changes all the time, studios were still using Pro Tools and not Reason or Logic. They were still using those things. So like,
you're right. Yeah, and it was like,
why didn't they teach us that? And why wasn't it required at a music school?
Especially because you had to be. Like I got Pro Tools because I was in that class. You had to be in that class where it was like, no, that's the industry standard. Nobody uses Reason. And you're already paying how much money you can afford. Like at the time it was like a $500 program. So they could have just slipped that in there.
And I'm sure they got it for free. My testimony of like, I had to go to the chair of songwriting and ask to be in a piano class at a music school because I wasn't in that certain major.
Crazy.
And I was like, I get that it's not a conservatory, which like most conservatories they would offer that, but like if you're gonna make us take ear training and harmony, which I want to learn those things, then like give us the visual of it.
I know. Yeah.
So wild to
so
me.
So wild.
I wonder if they've changed any of that now that they're like combined with BOCO and stuff. I don't know.
I hope that they would, especially piano. Like, I don't know. It just it seems like the thing everybody agrees on. Mm-hmm. It's like you should have. It's so visual, so it's so easy to understand. So like, why wouldn't they want you to have? And it's like you're paying for it. It's not like you're asking to do it for free. It's like if you want to pay for it, then like,
right?
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's not like you're asking like, well. First semester, I want to go into advanced orchestrations. Like, okay, maybe not. But, like, that's not what you asked. So.
I just want the basics.
God love you, Berkeley.
I'll be done with you forever in, like, a year.
Yes, you are.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just get into some other stuff. Okay. So, we have been doing on Strike Pod the 36 questions to fall in love, but I have found that they are so lovely to answer with your friends because you learn so many things about your friends also just like details about their life that you didn't know. And I just think it's really something to bond over. But I would recommend doing this with your partner too.
Yeah, I love that. Now, have you done it and do you give your answers every time too? Mm-hmm. Or, okay. So people.
Do you mean
people,
like, am I just asking you?
Like, do the questions change every time or?
Oh, yeah, the questions change because there's 36 of them. So I think I do like 6 or 7 every time.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, so we're not doing all 36?
No.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
We'll do a select few. The first ones were, I feel like a little bit lighter. I don't know. But like last time we did it, they get a little deeper. It's interesting.
What's your favorite position?
No. Never. That's a little too much for a first date. Well, that's what this is meant for. But no, like last time it was like, what's your most, like the first one we talked about at that dinner one time when it was like, what's your dinner guest or your ideal dinner guest kind of thing, which is like something that I think a lot of people ask, like as an icebreaker vibe, whatever. But the last questions were like, what's your most treasured memory? What's your most terrible memory? Like that kind of thing. And we were like, what? I don't know. And sometimes you have to think about it. And also, like, Mia was really funny and, like, kind of analyzed the questions as we went. She was like, I don't know if this is something that I would answer on a first date, but if it was, then I would answer it this way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Terrible memory. I don't even... Yeah, that's a... I'm going to think of
that one. Well, the first question that we are going to answer today is kind of like, I don't know, it's not weird. It's just like you have to think about it kind of, but not really. Okay, whatever. Also, side note, there is, I think, three sets of questions. Yeah, three sets of questions. There was like set one, set two. We're still in set two. The last question that we asked, we ended on, if you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, would you change anything about the way you are now living and why? You can answer that if you know what your answer is. If not, I'll move on. My answer was I definitely would.
Yeah, I would definitely.
And why? Because the world's ending, so I'm
well. And yeah, and financial things have
totally
a time limit, so certain things would just go away. Like if you have a car payment, like
yeah.
Are we answering that one? Or no. Okay.
No, yeah, you can.
Yeah, what
I basically did already. I didn't really have like a ton of extra reasons. I just was like, of course I would. I would like go travel and visit all the places that I wanted to go. And like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you would just try to like, I would try to empty the tank every day type thing. And
yeah,
you know, I kind of like to think that I try to do that most days, but yeah, you would travel, go all the places you want, spend time with the people you love. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, and in saying that, it's like, yes, you should be doing that every day.
So it's hard. It's hard to do every day though.
Yeah. I wonder if doing that, like if you really knew if it would be hard, like, would you still have those hard days you would probably have dark days where you would be like,
it's happening.
Super depressed.
Yeah.
That's not a fun one. I think whenever like people ask that question, like, would you want to know? Because there's that book going around. Maybe we talked about it. Like, forget what it's called, but basically the concept is like on their 16th birthday they get a box, it says like when they're gonna die, and it's the whole story is about like if people open the box or like choose not to. And I think I would choose not to. I don't know if I want to know. I know.
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
Because you can get tested if you have like a certain disease or whatever that your parents would have
or your partner. What if your partner dies in a year versus you're going to live 90? But I don't know. I feel like it would bring on more issues than not. So
yeah.
And right now in this life, that's not possible. So it's almost like, screw it. I don't know. We only get the one. We only get the one choice, which we don't know. So.
Okay, well, super light conversation.
Yeah.
Set two, number eight. This is like, I don't know. I guess I'll just say the question. What does friendship mean to you?
Wow. What does friendship mean to me?
That's really like, I don't know. Sorry. There's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's people that hold you up and you hold them up. I don't know. I feel like recently I've hit a point in my life. I never had like a ton of friend, I always had like a lot of friends like growing up, but I never had like core groups of like, I never had a best friend. Like if you ask me like, who was my best friend growing up? I always like had these seasons of like these different friends, but like, I never had like one common through. Like some people just have like a common, like just had that. So I don't know. My view of friends was always kind of weird. Because all these like different like seasons where I had like this group of friends here, but this group of friends, and I kind of was always like tucked in and out. But like, I feel like coming to Nashville and having more like of a common group of friends where like everybody's kind of friends with each other, and there's not like too many like separations. I don't know. I've really like, I feel like it's deepened my connections with people and just like the way I look at friendships and community. I don't know how else to answer that question, but what does it mean to you?
Is that what it means to you now though? Like, cause you were talking about what it meant to you before, like not cause you didn't really have like that connection, but like, so I guess my question is like, now that you have like the circle of people that like makes you connected to people more because it's like those same people that you're seeing all the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's people that you can rely on. They're like the people that are just, they're going to be there through whatever. Trust is a big part, I think, in friendship. And being know that you can, like, you can just trust certain people in any situation to follow through on something.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I think when I first think about this, I think the idea or the actual notion of reciprocity really strikes true for me. Like, if I do something, then I'd love to know that you're going to, like, do the same thing for me, or like I can rely on, like, trust is a huge thing. That's what we talked about, I think, in one of the questions before too, where I can, like, trust that you say you're going to do what you said you were going to do, like, and that you're honest with yourself so that you can be honest with me.
Yeah.
I think that's what friendship also is. And also, like, I really love in friendship, like, a hype person, kind of like we were talking about, like, holding people up and everything. But I just don't love, and I've been in these situations before, I don't love one-sided relationships of anything. So if I can, and I know some people are like, maybe, I don't know if they're like better or worse or whatever, but like some people, I think it's like fine for them to be like texting to hang out, like they're the only ones that are initiating kind of thing, or like they are the only ones that are making a lot of the moves kind of thing. But that, like, just doesn't work for me. Like, I need, and my love language has changed. It used to be words of affirmation, but I don't know, like, as I get older, maybe wiser, I don't know, but as I get older, like, words can only go so far, and you can say whatever the fuck you want to say, but that doesn't mean that you're actually proving it. Like, my words or my love language now is acts of service. Like, you have to put in the effort and put some action to the words, because words mean nothing to me anymore. Anyway, I mean, I like would love to hear that, like, you know, you want to hang out, but that, you know, is there follow through? I think that's what friendship means to me. And that's why I think also I have, and I don't know, I only have a certain amount of like people that I would consider like super, super, super close. And that is also probably my own thing, too, because I have a lot of insecurities. But, like, I've kind of gotten over those now. I just want to make sure.
Well, I think that's natural, too. I mean, it's there's probably only so many people you can have really close. I don't think we're wired to have, you know, they say that we're only really, like, wired to even know 200 people. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's hard for us to, like, know anything outside of that. So, yeah, it's hard to have, and that group can change. Like, that's just, that's natural. And yeah, I mean, I think Sierra has made a big part of the changing relationship to friendship, because she is such like a gatherer. Like, she is like, you need to be over here with this person. Like it's just kind of like, I don't care who you're coming from or what you're doing. It's like, just come in. And and that's not my natural thing. Like, you know, I mean, it's not uncommon where she's like, this person's coming over for dinner. And I'm like, we don't know that person. Like, we met on the street, like, not even like, we don't know anything about that person. Like, and that's just her thing. But I've become really grateful for it, because it's basically opened our entire community up, and it's become a beautiful thing. But I agree with you. I mean, I also like in friendship when people can call you on things. Like, it needs to be like a two-sided thing, because sometimes you're just an, you know, you're an ass and you don't know it. And sometimes they're an ass, and the ability to call it and not have that end of friendship, or you know, you get mad at them. I think, because it's also holding you in line, like that, like like, you want people to do that, you want to do that for people, like, be there for them. But
it all comes down to, and this isn't any relationship, like bringing out the best version of yourself.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the people that you're, when you're around the right people, you're kind of, it should be natural that your best version of yourself kind of comes forward. It shouldn't be too much work. So I think, like, when you do see those relationships, you know, you hold them tight.
Yeah Okay, great.
That's a fun question.
All right, number 9. You said what?
That's a fun question.
Yeah. Okay, number 9, what roles do love and affection play in your life? How do you answer that?
I mean, I think
what roles, like, what do you roles? Say if it's important to you or not, like,
love and affection. I would say it's like the only thing that is basically in anybody's life. Like it's either, if you don't take it as such a, you know, the face level, I don't know, love, like romantic love, mm-hmm. but like doing anything out of love and affection, I don't know, don't you want to do everything or everything be defined by whatever, even if you don't use the word love, just like a deep passion for something.
Yeah.
That light inside of you. Don't you want to come from there? I mean, don't the other thing that needs to be the center of everything. And affection. Yeah, love and affection. I don't know.
I'm trying to define that in my head,
but I don't know.
Yeah. I think of love more as like a mental thing. And then affection more, I don't know why in my head I think of affection as like a physical aspect. So for me, that question, like, love is a huge part of my life, as I think anyone who knows me would hopefully say, but affection, to be completely honest, if I'm being completely frank, I don't really do that unless it's like with my like my mom. I'll hug her and kiss her cheeks and everything, but I don't, and I love giving hugs, but I'm not really like,
what's the definition of affection? I'm having a
sure, Google it, let's see if we're answering this question properly. Affection. I don't think it is the, physical always.
No, it's not. A gentle feeling of fondness or liking, or the act of possessing or affecting or being affected.
Okay. The gentle feeling of fondness, that plays a huge role in my life. See,
but we know physical affection. We've answered that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you hear those two words always paired together, love and affection. And affection is kind of, by that definition, it's just kind of like the weaker version of love.
Interesting.
Love and affection.
Well, I guess if you read it literally, maybe, liking, but I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
When you actually put it into practice.
I'm having a hard time understanding what affect, like, yeah, affection means, like, I affect you.
Like, I jilp you. I jilp you.
Man, that's a, yeah.
I jumped over the moon. Brilliant. Oh, my God. I mean, I think we answered it to the best of our ability. That's what I would say.
Yeah, maybe we'll do an extra one.
All right. Okay. Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner. Share a total of 5 items. Okay. I've learned that this means you and I, not your partner.
Okay. Okay.
Like the people that are actually doing it. Oh, this is that.
Wait, read the question again then.
Okay. Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner. It's supposed to be 5, but I think
5
is fine.
2?
I don't know, however many. I would say for you, the first thing for me is driven.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I would not define myself as that.
You hate it?
No, that's something. Oh, and I don't want to interrupt your answer. Sorry.
No, I mean,
I feel like driven is.
Explain it?
Oh, no, you don't. It's funny you say that, because I've just been like dealing. I've been redoing our yard, and so I've been doing a lot of shoveling rock in silence, just because, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's meditative.
One of those things that always comes up is like, I really wish I'm a driven person, but I think that maybe I am, but the voice in my head says that, usually is saying that you're a lazy piece of shit and you need to do more things that driven people do.
I think that's why people are driven.
I think so too.
No, I really think that. And I think that about a lot of myself included, I would say too.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. And I'm just thinking about all the things that you've accomplished and wanted to accomplish and things that you've talked about. And I've seen you in sessions. I've seen you in other, like, professional settings. And, like, you always have a very organized, like, let's do the A plus B equals C. You know what I mean? And, like, if we need to open it up to a conversation, then great. But, like, that is interesting, though. Like, I mean, you always see yourself differently than what other people might see you as. But I think that's very common, that the reason why people are driven is, like, you're lazy. Do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That does make
sense.
But
I would also say, and this might, I don't know, this isn't like.
The other thing is that you're a lazy piece of shit.
And I hate you. No, but I think the thing that I'm getting at is that something similar I see you also do is impatience with your drivenness, if that makes sense. Like, not in always a bad way, but sometimes it's like it's not happening maybe fast enough or something. I do that way more than you do, I think. But like, sometimes that goes hand in hand with the driven characteristic. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah. It definitely probably one feeds the other. Mm-hmm. Because there's always something. I think I've grown more when you do accomplish something, because there's this feeling when you do accomplish something, it's sometimes followed by a deep sadness, because you realize when you do that thing did not fulfill you. And that's why they say when people get super successful, then it's like, you know, sometimes the most you're depressed is when you just achieved your dreams. But I think I've learned that, and I can kind of put words to that there is not really a thing that can success you or make you feel successful in that way, or that you cross the end of the line if like kind of your inner like voice isn't like you kind of, if you don't learn how that to make that still, then that it doesn't really matter. And you know, I don't know, and I keep telling myself, it's like when you do get that big, those big career moments, you just hope to be able to like remember that and stay with like that.
Try to be present, kind of.
Because you kind of need both, right? It's like it's like the bright light, dark shadow thing. You need the driven thing to get to the mountaintop, but then you gotta like, you know, one. But then the sadness comes in, so you have to learn how to deal with the sadness. Like so, I dealt with that. When we just released our album, after we released it, I was like super sad for a week, just because it was
show blues.
Yeah, it was done. It was just at the end of like an era thing, and
totally,
you know, it's natural. And so sometimes just being, oh, that's what that feeling is, you know, it's gonna end like in a week, you know, just being aware of it is sometimes good. But yeah, well, that's interesting. Me for you, I have two. Was that your two?
Okay, well, just say you're supposed to go back and forth. So just say the one.
I love which one should I do first?
Oh my god!
Okay, I'll do this one first. No, I love how curious you are. It's a trait that I think I respond well to other people, because I think it's something that I also I like and I admire when people are curious. And it's not a common thing, not because some people can fake it really well, like just be like, oh, like what are you working on, like, oh, that's cool. And then like the conversation like ends, but you have like a heart of like a learner, or just, it's one of the best things I think that you can have in your life. And especially if you are able to have that throughout your whole life. But I feel like you're so curious. Anytime we talk about something, even this unions thing, we were not even supposed to talk about that. And it's like, let's just rabbit hole and let's kind of like go down this thing and you'll research it and then we'll talk about it later. So I love that you're curious.
Thanks.
And that you kind of, I don't know. And it's like a playful curiosity. It's not like I'm going to learn this, so, or at least I hope it's not like this. I'm going to learn this, so I will
prove you wrong.
Yeah, it's like not that. It's like, oh, I've never heard about that. I need to go find out about that because it just interests me, and just following your interest. I really like that about people. And you are really curious, I think.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome.
Love that. Oh my god. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have to come up with another one. I actually was going to say that too. I feel like, and what's interesting is that this sparks so much conversation in friendships, I think, because you've known them longer. But I don't think you always used to be as open-minded as you are right now to this day.
No, and I
have really seen that like progress since we've met until now. And that's something I really have enjoyed seeing about you, that like you are way more open to like, kind of similar curiosity questions, and also just like, if you don't love something, then you're just like, okay, it's not for me, but it's not wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's nice that you see it improve, because it's something that I feel like it's like the one thing about my personality that I really truly like try to work on all the time. Like, I don't know if it's like how I was brought up. It's probably a lot of that, but I know I can be super stubborn And I've tried to actively work on that. So that's good.
That's nice.
I think like surrendering to the fact that like I don't know is a beautiful, or like that anybody doesn't know.
Totally.
Do you ever listen to the Rick Rubin's new podcast? It's called Tetragrammaton.
No. You can send it to me though.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's basically like his non-music podcast. He interviews like all different types of people, but he just said something. He was interviewing Whitney Cummings.
She's really been making the circuits.
Yeah, it's a really good interview, but he said something that just, she was like trying to, she was trying to be like, how do I just be like you? You're so like zen. You're so got it all figured out. You don't get angry. Like how do I, like, he's like this Buddhist and his response was, you want to figure it out. I know it's not knowable. I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Like surrendering to the fact that you just don't know. And I think for so much of my life, I've just been like, I know this. This is what I believe. Fuck you if you don't believe it. And then just like trading the fact that it's just like, I don't know. And in that not knowing, it's like, that could be true. The opposite could also be true. And then the unimaginable, that could be true, or the unimaginable could be true. And it's like, I don't know how it's really powerful. From what you just said.
No, I think it totally makes sense. It's just the power of not knowing and not being so stuck in your ways, which is really hard to do. I mean, like you said, it does, a lot of times it really has to be actively worked on. You know, like you have to be really conscious of what, you know, you're saying and you're thinking and all these things to different people, especially to different people, because that is something that's really hard.
Yeah. I want to do like a group thing because they all kind of go in hand in hand. One thing that I love about you that I don't see in a lot of people is like a genuine supportiveness of people you care about. Like, I feel like you genuinely want to support people and lift them up and try to make them better. And I really appreciate that because you have a lot of people in your life and people can be levels of support, but you can kind of feel the, like, I don't know if it's like the genuineness.
And, or you can feel that it's maybe not deep enough.
Or it's not deep enough.
It's just like a surface level, like, oh, congratulations, that's so great. The end.
Yeah.
Which that's its own thing.
Which is its own thing. But I feel like you always try to at least put, like, really dive into something that somebody's like proud of or supportive of, like you go into. And within that, I think comes out the next one where I think you have an incredible work ethic that I would love to see in myself. I mean, I think I'm a hard worker, but you are a hard, really hard worker. And I hope you know that about yourself. I mean, think
that
about all the
so
things.
That's so nice to hear from you.
What?
That's really nice to hear from you.
Yeah, because, and this goes, they all kind of like tie into each other because you have this, it kind of goes into your curiosity. You not only have the curiosities, but you go head first into them. It's like, I'm going to start a podcast. I like this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this theater thing. I'm going to do that. I'm getting into boxing. I'm going to do that. Like, and then you do it. I think there's a lot of people who just talk about doing things, but actually going in and doing it and then like achieving them, that's a thing I admire about you. And you're just, all of it is just work. It's hard work. There's a grind. There's a period where it sucks and you've been able to fight through a lot of those things. And it's no doubt in my mind that you'll get to whatever place you're going to want to get to, because that's how you do it. Like, and you have those skills. So you're going to get to that place because I think of your work ethic.
Oh. That is so nice. It's so nice. Well, especially to hear from you, because I mean, said what?
I lost your audio for a second.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's really nice because I feel like, I don't know, especially when we're doing like my record, I don't know, there's been a lot of like, yeah, sometimes I feel like it's almost too much for some people. Like, I don't know, but I don't think that that's a bad thing and I haven't stopped it. But like, I don't know, I also have to get used to like working and being vulnerable with other people to get to that like work ethic. If that probably doesn't really make sense, but yeah. I guess like when we were doing my record, I would be like intimidated by like our sessions sometimes because you are better than me at music. Like, and I'm not saying that like from, and you can respond and rebut or whatever, but like you have the experience and you have a lot more knowledge than me, like especially playing instrument wise, producing, all that kind of thing. So I think a lot of it is just like opening myself up to like knowing again that I don't know what's happening, but also I have the vision, but also like not being so scared of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. That does but make yeah. sense.
That's nice to hear. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Okay, we have to go back and forth. Can I say, like, this is going to sound weird, but I always thought that you had a very nice smile. Oh. Can I say a physical thing?
I can't hear you. Sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. I'm kind of been cutting it out.
That's weird.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, can I say a physical thing? Because I always thought you had a nice smile.
Aw, thank you. I appreciate it. That's very sweet. You have a nice smile, too. I think I like your earlobes. You have very proportional earlobes.
I like a lot of people's smile, too. But, yeah. I mean, while we're on it. Okay. Technically, what should we do the full five? Do we, like... Technically, it's five. I did three. You did, technically, I guess you did three.
Did I do three? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Whatever you want. What do you?
Well, let's do like the full. I guess we'll try to be like legitimate with it. Unless we don't have any more.
Well, I can always think of some more.
I guess technically you did three, but you tied it in. So it's whatever works for you. I'm trying to think too. Let me think. We hate each other.
Yes, that's what people learned after what we just said.
Oh God, I just feel like those are the top three.
Yeah, those were like the big ones. I mean, there's things I don't know.
A positive.
You're loyal.
Loyal is good.
Now let's do what we don't like. No, we shouldn't.
All right. I think we've answered that one. Okay. Well, that was so nice to hear from each other. Wasn't it so special?
You know, that was a special moment.
We should do that for a lot of our friends, actually.
I think everybody should do this. It's like, you don't have these conversations a lot, but.
Yeah, because really I feel important. Like it has to be like precedented or something. If you just randomly bring it up, you're kind of like a weirdo, I feel.
Yeah.
Also, I will say, here's something else that I have seen growth slash, you know, something that you didn't always used to do. You ask a lot more questions to people and carry conversations very much more like they're a friend, even though they're not your friend yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
You didn't used to always do that. And I see that a lot now. Like, I don't know, because I remember you saying a while ago, I don't know if it's still true, but about like kind of some social anxieties and things like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like now you are like asking questions to people. And that's one of my favorite things about people in general.
Yeah.
Like when they ask questions and actually want to know the answer. And there's only a select few people that actually do that and want to hear the answer. And I feel like you want to hear the answer.
Yeah, that is something, I think that's something that we share. And I think like once you make the realization with like, because I think I did have a fair amount of social anxiety, and maybe that just comes from growing up a little bit, that like everybody in the room has social anxiety. And like, I don't really care like if you're famous or what, like I rather talk about like, oh, you're into like fly fishing, like let's fucking go about fly fishing, like or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And maybe there's just like a lack of caring what other people think about you because it's all made up in your head anyway, and everybody's just all thinking that. So yeah, that's something we do share.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, anything else? Want to move on?
Sure, let's move on.
Okay,
if I think of something
number 11
else.
Okay. How close, oh God, this is funny. How close and warm is your family? Do you feel your childhood was happier than most other people's? Sean has left the building. Thank you.
No. Oh God, I forgot to edit this. No, it was.
Listen.
I have this weird thing.
I have this thing where I get older.
I'm
just never wiser.
I mean, it wasn't pretty good. I mean, it was a pretty good childhood.
Your childhood was happier than most childhood people, was happier. Say.
Yeah, for sure. I think there was complications, like maybe as like young adulthood. But I think like my parents did a great job at making us feel loved. To be honest, I don't really remember a lot about childhood. Me and Sierra have been talking about this recently. She'll be like,
I feel like you've talked about this too.
How did it feel like being five? And I've been like, I have zero, like, I try to go back in my memory about like, okay, how did it feel like in high school? Okay, I can kind of get there. And then I'm like, middle school? Pretty blurry. I don't know what that is. Mm. Like, I don't know if I just like blocked it out or was too self-absorbed or not self-absorbed enough. I don't know. Like,
interesting.
I've been trying to, but then like you do have, does this ever happen to you when somebody's like, oh, like how did it feel like when you were in fourth grade? And you're like, I'm usually like, I don't know. But then somebody is like, oh, describe like a feeling of sadness. And then I'm like, oh, like I remember this one day in fourth grade. Like it comes from a different area in the brain. Like when it's more like emotional, I'm like, oh, I can get to a place I haven't thought about in years. But if you're like, tell me about that place, I'm like, oh, I can't get there. So I don't know. I've just like recently I've been kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would say that's fascinating too, because one time I feel like, how do I say this? Basically, I think that I agree with what you're saying in the sense where sometimes I feel like somebody asked me something about like a grade that I was in and I didn't know what grade, but I knew what age I was. Mm. So like maybe that has something to do with it too, like how you and your brain have compartmentalized it. But you didn't answer the first question. How close and warm is your family?
Oh, closer than, I would say maybe average close and average warmth. It kind of depends on the day and how we're all feeling.
Very but, great answer.
But I will say that, yeah. What about you? I will say sometimes I wish there was a little bit more like, what's the correct word?
Warmth?
Natural warmth?
Oh.
Because I look at like my wife's family, it's easy. Like, it's very easy. It's not like a, like they don't have to like work on it. It's mm-hmm. very like you feel comfortable.
Yes.
And yeah. So yeah. What about you? I mean I kind of know, but
well, I think we that this two. Has yeah, I kind of have split sides to this, to be honest. Close and warm. My mom and my sister and I are the closest that I could ever have wished for. And warmth is an understatement on that. And like, I am so lucky and blessed. But like, I mean, I will say that now we don't have to work on it, which is really lovely. But we did. And a lot of that is huge part to my mom, who is just the most loving like person in the entire world. Yeah. And doesn't, and by loving, I mean unconditional. Yeah. You didn't have to earn anything with her. And she was going to let you know that, and still does, that she loves you no matter what. No matter what you do, she will be there.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. Like I don't know. It's like your mom is one of those people too, where it's natural. It's like just mm-hmm. like the essence so that her. She projects to the world. Yeah. It's just like, it's a very loving. There's no like, even I'm sure, I mean, everybody has like their, you know, or prejudice against whatever. And but it's like not a, I don't know, you don't see that first, like mm-hmm. at all. Like, I don't know right. if I ever, like, it's just this, there's a deep love and happy. I would say like your mom, like, is just like a happy mm-hmm. person, and happiness comes in love. And like, she's, yeah, it's just like this
she,
ray
like,
of sunshine.
Life.
It's like a
she,
sun.
She like, loves
yeah.
life and sunshine. Yeah, she loves sunshine. You know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is great. I would say, whereas with my dad, who has made strides, and I've talked about it before, who has made strides in his closeness, but it is not natural always. Yeah. And I grew up, and I guess this goes with the childhood thing. My childhood, like from a completely grand scheme of things, it was happier than, I don't know, most other people's, but it was happy pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I had my traumas and dramas and all the things. But my dad, I grew up with conditional love. Like, it wasn't, it's always available and ready to you. At least it wasn't shown that way to me. It was, you need to earn this, you need to earn that, you need to do this in order for me to help / love you. And that is where a lot of, like, my, I have to prove myself came from. Not anymore. I don't think it is anymore. I'm sure it comes through in some regards, but, like, you know, lots of help from that side has been good. But yeah, so I still think that he's more open-minded than he was before, but like warmth is not his first color, at least, or it wasn't to us. It's kind of, I think a lot of people actually have this story where like they would hear from their parents' friends or like organizations that they were part of, like would come up to me and say like, oh my gosh, your dad is like so nice and so kind and he's like always willing to lend a hand. And I'm like, glad he's showing that to somebody. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So
yeah,
it's very fascinating. And to be completely honest, and as I've gotten older, like we've talked about this so many times, like when you learn that your parents are just people and really struggling / maybe haven't even dealt with the shit that they went through, because he had a really rough, beyond rough childhood.
Yeah.
So like he was bringing that into his relationship with us, which I mean, it's not an excuse, but it's an explanation. So. Yeah.
And when you realize that, oh, like, because I think about this too, not more so from my dad's side, like, oh, like what they did was an improvement. Like, yeah, it's not perfect, but like they did improve, like, you know, because like your childhood would just be different if it was like you were your grandparents' kid or whatever. It would just be wildly different. And yeah.
I always think about Marc Maron's joke, though, where he's like, you know, they, people always say they did the best they could. And you're like, really? That was your best?
I know.
But that's like, funny. Honestly, I think it was to a certain degree. And again, like I said, this is not meant as a bashing. This is just like what I experience. I'm answering the question. But he has gotten a lot better now. And I definitely can talk to him about a lot more stuff. But it is an effort, I think, on both of our ends. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I think on both of our ends, we both have to try to understand each other and be open to each other's like ideas. And, you know, like when I booked that regional theater gig, like he was really excited for me more than he has been in a long time and asked how he could help and all these things. And like, that's not really, that wasn't true before. So that's, you know, you just take what you can and accept them for who they are. That's really the point.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it. Like, I feel like I've gotten there more with my parents, like just accepting like who they are and their flaws and then their the good things about them, you know, and seeing them as people. I think that was kind of, like you said, was a big light bulb moment. It's like, oh, they're just a person in the world. They're not, you know.
Not perfect.
But there still is this thing where it's like, oh, but they are and they aren't, right? Because like, but I think for a long time, you just don't see them as a person. Like, they're just.
Yeah.
Yeah, the governing force.
No, especially not as a child when you have no room to compartmentalize or have any language for what you're feeling or anything like that. So,
yeah
totally. Mm. But, great.
Good question.
This next question. Oh.
Oh no. I thought that was a bad one.
How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
What's the next question? We answered that.
No, we didn't. It's the last question in this set. If you want to skip it, you can. Would you skip it if you're on a date?
What's the question?
How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
Oh.
That was the question. Did you not hear that before? That's why you asked to skip it, I thought.
I didn't answer that. Yeah, you're cutting in and out a little bit, but I don't know. I think it must be a lag thing with the internet. Honestly, right now, I feel like we're at a better place. I feel like my mom is entering into a phase of her life where she's being more open and and dealing with like some anxieties better. We talked about this a little bit. I interviewed my mom. I did that thing.
Oh, yes.
I kind of stopped that. I was going to do more of them, and then
I want you to do more.
But
also, before you go on, can you hear me regularly now?
Now I can. Like every, I don't know if it's like when you get really loud, it goes out, but
maybe I'll stand over here.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be just an internet thing, but that's not happening with me.
The question was, I said, how do you feel about your relationship with your mother? And then you were like, what's the next question?
Oh, yeah. I thought you had moved on.
And that's why I was like, why do you want to skip it? You can't skip it. Okay. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, no, I mean, better now. Like, I feel like, yeah, we did this interview thing where I interviewed her about her like whole life and learned so much. And I think that really opened my eyes up to some different things in her personalities that I kind of always questioned. And one of the things was that she's always been a very anxious person, and I wasn't really like, I wasn't like really sure like why, or I mean, I don't know. It was just always one of those things in your head. And one of the things she always brought up in the interview, and I think, I don't know if we talked about this, but her dad, she was like the youngest of five, and her dad had a heart attack really early on. And when she was little, and I don't know who told her, but somebody told her basically like, you can't upset your dad, because if he has a heart attack, he'll probably die. And so she kept bringing that up, like, oh, I've never felt like I could step out of line or like do anything bad or try anything, because if I made him too upset, he would die. And like, it was kind of like the little thread that I was like, oh, that's the thing you brought through your whole life. Like, and that's like your anxiety,
so
might
pressure
stem from that, like not dealing with that. I don't think she had really talked about it before. So, yeah, we're getting to the place where we can talk about more things. She's become more supportive of our music, which has been great, because I don't know if I really felt that for the longest time. But this past record that we did, I don't know, she's really showed up for that. And, yeah, she's just more open. Like, you can kind of talk to her about different things. And I don't know if that's also because I've kind of worked on it, too, like not being so snappy in responses. And because I think I would get, she would say something and I would get defensive, and but really just like sitting and listening to the whole response, and maybe not even rebuttaling, because a rebuttal isn't, that's not necessary, or you know, sometimes people just want to talk, you know, stuff like that. And just kind of learning how to pick your, not even fights, just kind of learning your place in a conversation. I think that's just really helped. So but good right now.
Okay, I think that's good.
Yeah. And you were talking about your mom, so that's good.
Yeah.
Well, and your dad.
From my perspective, too, and obviously this is from me on the outside, but whenever I hang out with you and your mom and your dad, I always get this impression that they are like, I don't know even how to explain it exactly. They're like kind of in awe of you. And don't know how to, this is my perspective, I don't know. And don't know always how to show / help you understand that. And I especially saw this at the beach. I think I told Sierra this, and I should have told you, I guess. I feel like I saw this at the beach when we went to their house. I just feel like they are so proud of you in like the most nonverbal way. I don't know if that's me just picking up on energies, but I feel like your mom wants so badly to like be BFFs with you in a certain kind of way. And like, I don't know if this is any truth, but like, she just feels like you're too cool for her or something. Like,
it's really interesting that you say that. Like every time, I actively, when they bring up career or anything, I actively steer the conversation, because I just can't have the thing where it's like, no, I haven't figured it out yet. Like, like I just can't have that conversation again. It's just like, it's so, because I feel like with my mom, it's career, because she loves, loves talking about this person got this job and they're making so much money and like, you know, or like, I just feel so like, you know, And then I see it on that aspect, but then I also see the aspect where I'm like, I don't know if they just, if they do see it or they can't see that, like, I'm really happy. I have a great partner. I have a great friend, a great community. You know, I love the things I do. I've found real joy in my life. I don't know why they can't see it.
Yeah.
And maybe they have. I don't know. But yeah, that's funny you say that, because I feel almost the exact opposite.
Interesting. Well, again, I feel like it's, it's like they are having a hard time understanding how to convey it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, like, I feel like in their, and I don't like to chalk everything up to generational, because that's just not how it always is. But I feel like in their head, that's like kind of the path that they followed. It's like, you get the job, you get the house, you have the kids, X, Y, and Z, like straightforward. So to see somebody do that, that this is the problem I have with my dad a lot as well, where it's just like, I don't think he understands how to convey, like, I'm really proud of you, apart from, like, maybe writing it. I was, like, looking at some cards, and he had written it, because I told you I was in this, like, cleaning phase of, like, throwing things away, and I, like, found some cards where he, like, said some really deep, meaningful things, but he can't say it in person, and it's really interesting, or he said it every now and again in person, and, like, I would like to point out, too, that, like, I think a lot of the reason why I am so, like, work ethic is because I saw his work ethic, too, and, like, there is obviously a certain point of, like I talked about before, like, earning that, and so, like, that kind of trickled, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think you're a disappointment at all, and like, in their eyes, like, whatsoever. But that's obviously just me. So who's to say? I'll ask them when I see them next time.
And, like, I know that's not true, and I think
it's, like, so entrenched in you, though, in your core beliefs of yourself and your relationship with them, that it's, like, it's hard to move past that unless you were to, like, actually say it or write it or whatever.
Yeah. And I know that they would do anything to help me out. Like, they want me to succeed, and like, and my sisters to succeed so much. It's almost just, like, the wrong way of, they're just like, we just want it so bad for you. I dread the conversation. Like, if I worked all weekend, like, just, you know, had crazy hours and worked seven, and then Monday I'm on the phone with my mom at like 10 a.m. and without a doubt, she's like, why aren't you working right now? I'm like, I just worked like 72 hours, like, straight.
I just flopped it.
You know, and it's just like, it's just
Monday through Friday.
Yeah. And it's just such a different world. Where, yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, they've been incredibly supportive and helped me in so many things that, it's a tough one.
That is a tough one. No, truly. Yeah. It really is. But I think that you're seeing some growth on both sides. So I guess
that's
all you can kind of hope for. And like I said, like, I don't know, you can't change their beliefs. So, like, even if I'm, like, god-awful wrong about literally everything, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't change what they're going to think.
Yeah, I think you're probably more right.
I just think they don't know how to communicate it. Or even, like,
huge part.
Bring off an energy.
I know. Sometimes I want to strangle my dad. I'm just like, tell me how you feel. Like, but it's that generational thing. It just must be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They have to reach a point to themselves.
Where I feel like we're, I don't know, we just vomit how we're feeling, like, almost too much. Like, it's like nobody asked. Like, Jesus
I bring
Christ.
It out in a lot of people, though. I think a lot of that's on me.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I feel that too. Even in some friends, like, you know, we won't say names, but I don't know. Some friends, we've talked about it. I'm just like, tell me how you feel. Just tell me how you actually feel about this situation. Be mad. I want you to get upset and, like, be mad about this person. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, but, you know.
Yeah, I've had that too with people that we've talked about.
Yeah.
100%. I'd rather be mad for like 5 minutes, but, like, you told me, and then we can move past it instead of, like, lying to yourself and me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is fun. What's another question?
Well, my relationship with my mother is great. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you kind of did it. Well,
I know.
We talked about your perfect mother.
I know. She is a little
cute baby. Does she listen very regularly?
No. She doesn't really know how to get on a podcast. Oh, she has before, I think, when the other podcast like first started, I showed her, and then I think she just kind of fell off, but it's okay.
It's so funny. I've been trying to teach my, we were just going through this. We were logging Sierra's parents into Hulu, and like, whatever that disconnect is, like her dad is like one of the most intelligent people I know. And if you call him on the phone and send him a picture, he ends up hanging the phone up. He can't like he can't look at the picture, or do he has to hang up, look at it, and call you back. It's just like there's a disconnect. God. We were trying to log him into Hulu, and it was just like,
maybe it's like multitasking on technology is hard.
Yeah,
like one thing at a time, you know.
Yeah, or we're just so ingrained with it where it's just like part of our arm.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, last question. Set. Okay, well that was actually the end of set two. So set three.
Keep going.
You know, let's just do one more. Okay. This one's hard. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Okay. Make three true we statements each. For instance, we are both in this room feeling blank. We.
Three interesting. True, so a statement that involves us both. Mm-hmm. I say, well, kind of going back to what we've been talking about, we are actively trying to succeed in our dreams, but probably have not gotten there to for what our level of what personal we want yet. We're kind of both in that phase of like, we want to get there.
Mm-hmm,
and yeah, I would say that's true.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
I want to, I don't know, all of my success right now is kind of tied to like, if I can live off of what I love to do, and
100%.
It's been that way for like 8,000 years. And I don't know if there's a way to not have that thought.
I know.
You know,
me and Sierra talk about this all the time. It's
like, I used to want to be rich. I actually like will not lie to that. I used to, but yeah, now I just want to like live off of, like, I just want to live off of what I like to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That is
so
the
that's
goal.
The dream for me. And that's yeah, you're dream. Right. Like, it hasn't gotten to where we want it to be yet. But were you to tell anybody else, like, have you succeeded? It'd be like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay. What's another we statement? How would I even complete that sentence? We are both in this room feeling dot, dot, dot. We are both in this room feeling happy to be here. No. I don't know. This is interesting. Three true we statements. Okay, we've gotten one. Maybe
yeah,
we failed
this
question. Hard.
What's the next question?
Well, I want to try to get one. Three true we statements. We are both in this room. Does it have to be like
I think it's
mental?
No, it could be like we both like ham sandwiches. I don't know.
I don't love a ham sandwich.
I do. I just made one. Like, and we're getting into really soup season.
Oh, I love a soup season.
And we made it this really good wild rice soup. And I made like a ham and grill and cheese. And then I made like a truffle aioli thing.
Really, that sounds great.
Yeah, it was good.
I have one, I guess. You can help me finish it, I suppose. But I think that we are both in this room feeling like we want to be the best version of ourselves.
Yeah.
And always want to work on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not settling.
Being better, feeling better.
Yeah. Feeling better, living better. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that curiosity. It goes back to that curiosity thing. Just that, like, trying to, like, and probably goes to career too. It's just like, mm-hmm. What's the thing? Like, keep going forward. Like, I had a talk with somebody the other day, and they were like, I just feel really like good in my own skin right now, where I'm at, and like, I don't really, if like something else comes up, like, I don't really want to learn any more things. And I was just like,
or
like, I don't, they were, how are they saying it? They're saying like, I don't really want to be like a beginner at anything anymore. And I'm like, I could not feel the opposite. Like, I feel like I'm, every time I open my eyes, I'm a beginner at something. And I think that's a good thing. I just kind of want to keep going. Like, I don't want to be ever feel like
comfortable in his or her or their skin.
Yeah, well, it's like a, it's like comfort, but like, and I think that's good, but it's like a, yeah, it's like, because I feel like if you're comfortable and you're comfortable for too long, it's like, oh, I'm good. I don't need to change at all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then you get to be like 70 and you're like a really curmudgeon 70-year-old because like you haven't changed your entire life. But like you do need to get to the level where you're like, you're happy. But like, right. I don't know. It's like this balance. It's like being okay with how to like handle the stress of something, yeah, but not like make it negative or something.
I think that's so true. And I think that, I mean, that kind of brings it back to my mom, actually, because that's one of the reasons why I feel like she is so loving, because she is always learning something. Like,
and she's doing stuff. Like, yeah.
And she's doing it all the time. And she's like, not only walking the, or talking the talk, but walking the walk. Like, in all the organizations, I mean, like, and I have to, like, not correct her, but like, kind of tell her some things that, like, we don't say anymore. We don't, and she never says things that, like, are insulting, but like, certain things that, like, you know, she's around, and she is so good at keeping such an open mind. Like, even if it's annoying, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that helps. Yeah. I think the last we statement is we both love a Domino's pizza.
Oh, I haven't had a Domino's pizza in so long. That sounds so good right now. And like, so good and so bad. But man, do we love a pizza too? We should do that again.
I know. You should have a pizza party and try to like recreate that pizza maybe.
And do mushrooms. I really want to do ayahuasca. I'm trying to convince Sierra to go, like, okay, what about, like, 2025, we all go to Costa Rica, ayahuasca for 4 days.
I'm scared.
Me too. Wait, but can you imagine? But it's, like, one time in your life.
If you, you know what I was thinking also, I would be interested, this is so not the same thing, but, like, when you said that you, like, forgot some certain memories or whatever, I feel like you should try, and I want to try this too, but, like, you especially with your forgotten memories should try the EMDR. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's the eye movement desensitization rapid something. It's basically like a, it's not hypnosis, but it's like kind of borders on that line.
Interesting.
And like you close your eyes and like you have a guide that, and like your eyes move back and forth and like you come up with random shit. People have used it for like, I've heard a lot of it on podcasts for like trauma for weight loss and like the diet culture and that kind of stuff. And how like, they didn't realize that some of that was so entrenched in their like physical being, and like they buried a lot of those memories. A lot of people have talked about it in really good ways. So
wow, yeah, I'm all in on like anything like that. Like, I mean, I don't want to let somebody like shock my brain. I mean, I think we ruled that one out or whatever. But yeah, I love stuff like that, or hearing about stuff like that. I don't know. It's all so fascinating. Sierra was just telling me about, brain mapping. Have you heard of that?
Oh, I have heard about it, but I forgot what it is.
Yeah, really. it's kind of I don't know if it's like similar. They basically like they put electrodes on your head, and they're the goal is to activate parts of the brain that have become inactive or like not, they're not firing as rapidly as they as you should, and it just can affect so many different parts of like how you're feeling or how you're sleeping or and every time you're sick, I guess, like it, your brain can get, you know, inflammation can cause it to not work right. And yeah, somebody was just telling her that they had like incredible results, and they can do it to your pets too. Apparently, like if your pet's like super neurotic or something, they can do it. I don't know, sounds crazy. I'm in though. I'll try anything once. It's kind of like, I feel like my new motto, like I'll try it once. Like if after once, like smoking crack isn't gonna, no, I'm just kidding. I don't smoke
crack. Don't joke about that, Sean.
I know. I don't condone
don't
that.
Don't do it.
But,
all right, well, that's a good place to end. You said what? Yeah, mushrooms. Okay, I've heard, yeah, microdosing mushrooms too can be helpful, I think, for a lot of people. Yeah. So I'd be open to that. Oh my God. Speaking of that kind of thing, you've heard of CBDMD, right? The website?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I got like a sleeping aid a million years ago, and I like wanted to get a new one. And so I got one, and I didn't realize this until I just, for some reason, 2 weeks ago maybe, was having the worst time falling asleep, even after I like did all my routines and stuff. So I took some of this, and I didn't realize that I had gotten one that also has the THC in it.
Oh, shit.
It tastes awful.
It tastes awful. Interesting. Tastes
terrible. Oh. I was like, what is this? Because you know how, like, if you just smoke or like have it in a brownie and it's like powerful, like it doesn't taste good. It tastes like grass, literally.
Yeah.
It tastes worse, I feel. Huh. Like, it's supposed to have a flavor. I think, like,
was it oil or?
Yeah, it was oil.
It was oil.
Mm-hmm. It was like in the little dropper thing. And I mean, I slept decently, like, I guess. It wasn't like, it definitely helped me fall asleep faster. I don't know that, yeah, I'd say I had like the best night sleep.
Yeah.
But that could have just been whatever, my brain, yeah, doing its thing. But like, it had a flavor in it. I think it was mint or something.
That's
like
so
this.
Funny.
But all I was of like, those. I guess I need to put it in water or something.
Yeah. All of those flavor things are so funny. We went to that dispensary in Vegas and like people were like getting all the gummies and stuff. And there's like, mm-hmm, a billion flavors of gummies. And I'm always like, who's buying this for the eating the flavor? Like, you eat one every like couple hours. Like, it's not like these like taste.
Especially
it's just
if they're
so
tiny,
funny.
I guess it would be. But yeah, man, that oil was pungent.
That's funny, wow, though. That's crazy that I didn't realize you can buy that over the internet with regular THC.
No idea.
Crazy.
I had no idea. I just said sleep. And I was like, of course I can sleep with this.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's interesting. I feel like those things, they can either like be, maybe they're just like short-term fixes for sleep. Because sometimes I was taking CBD for a while for sleep. But then I like start, and I was like being able to fall asleep faster. But I don't think I was like sleeping deeply. Hmm. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it like just helps like kind of retrain your body, yeah, to sleep, because it's almost like you don't
slows your heart rate and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember when I had CBD for the first time, I think it was CBD in California when one of my roommates had it for the first time. I slept the best I've ever slept in my entire life with that kind.
So yeah.
I don't know what it was or like if it was the good California weed or what,
yeah,
but it was like really good. And now,
yeah, there's so
like,
many different ones. Yeah. And I guess your tolerance gets different and.
Maybe, yeah, I should try gummies. Maybe that would help me sleep a little better too.
Yeah. Did I tell you that I sold my sauna thing?
Yeah, you did.
I sold it and I bought a new one.
You got a new one already?
Yeah. Well, it's being made.
Okay.
But it's one outside and
being
it's
made. Are you getting it like custom designed?
Well, it's a barrel sauna. It looks like a giant like whiskey barrel basically. And it fits
like
six people.
Hobbit sized.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no, it fits like six people in there.
That's wild. I can't wait to see it. Okay.
I know, but we should do a thing where we have a fire and ice day. We've never done that, but I think it'd be a really fun experience.
We should try
for the both
it. I should
us.
Do it. I'll die, but I'll do it.
No, you won't die. I feel like you'll love it. I feel like you'll get
I will love
it.
I do love it. I mean, well, I only do it on my face and like every now and again in the shower, but yeah. I haven't done like a full plunge.
I've always wanted to. I don't know even how this would be possible, but I feel like it'd be really cool to have a podcast in a sauna because, yeah, like, there's something about the heat that, like, or just like any of those intense situations, like, it gets conversations real good, real fast because it's like you're so focused on not dying that you kind of like the truth veil just like comes out. I think the mics would end up like, you would go through recording equipment fast because it would get like zapped.
I was going to ask how the equipment would work.
I know.
We can definitely do that. I think in the new year, I'll be having a new podcast by that time. So
it'd be fun to try an episode like that.
Yeah, I'll right research. After we got out of the plunge.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was so fun.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so happy that we got to do this.
I know.
How great. So I will post, like I do always, I'll post this link in the show notes so that you guys can ask all of your friends all of these questions.
Yeah.
Or your partner, or your new date, or whatever you want to do.
That'd be kind of like a fun dinner thing. Like, because I'm like, I do want to know all these about, like, friends. Like, almost 100%. Like if you had, like, a speed dating thing, you have a dinner, and then, like, everybody switches, and then, like, every time you ask a new question. I feel like it'd be a very good bonding experience.
I do too. I think it'd be great to, like, if we had a dinner party to do, like, one or two questions with, like, I want to hear everybody's answers.
Yeah. I heard that you might be in town for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Are you coming over here for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
We should do that Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure mom's going to come too.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. Oh, cool.
Yeah, because the week before we will be in the Dominican, so I'm pretty positive
that's
that
right.
She's
she'll just stay.
Yeah, I think she's just gonna stay. She's still like on the fence, but I'm pretty positive she's gonna
stay. She needs to stay. That is in like how many days? Let's see.
Gnarly.
Are we
Tanisha,
under a month?
Tanisha, Tanisha.
I need to hit her up just to see how she's doing.
I know.
Is there anything we can help
with? All right,
well,
let's get off of this and we'll talk after the mic has ended. I think this is might be one of the longer ones.
Sorry, everybody.
No, don't be sorry. Look, this is what we're here for, and I loved every freaking second of it, okay?
Yeah. All right.
This was great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate
and side
it.
Note, I will tag you and your duo with your wife, Sierra Trainer. It's called Southern Call. And if you do you have a link for the movie? Do you want to post that?
Yeah. Or? Yeah, we have that. Yep.
Okay, you can send that. Cool. I don't know how many people actually read the fucking show notes. So I work on them and I tag everybody. Yeah. But you know, you just never
I think show notes I use show notes a lot. Okay. I feel like when I to find people. I don't know.
Okay,
yeah,
dope.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You should do this with Sierra. She would really like this.
I know. I was going to say she should come on. Also, when are you coming to boxing?
I know. I need to come. I was going to come today, but I had something I had to rush back to the house, but she loved it.
Good.
But I would. Okay. I know I will love it because I love doing that stuff. So
I
need to
I think
do
you
it.
Like it too. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And this may or may not be one of the last strike pods that we have, but you know, hopefully
amazing.
We'll get back to the show that we love too. And hopefully Sean will be on for one of those as well. And sure. Yeah, we'll talk soon. Thanks again for
Thank
coming
you.
On, Sean.
Bye.
Okay, bye.